Yeah, thanks, Kieran. A very good afternoon. We are in the heart of the kingdom in Killarney in County Kerry. We're high here in the press area looking down onto the field at Fitzgerald Stadium as both Donegal and Kerry just conclude their warm-ups ahead of the 2:30 throw-in for this game. When I took my position here a short time ago, I remembered a photograph of the great Micheál O'Mara Hartig sitting in the commentary position, and behind him was the glorious McGillicuddy Reeks, the mountain range in Kerry, and we're just sitting looking straight across at the McGillicuddy Reeks, and virtually over to our right, we've got the Devil's Bite further on as ladies view. The Mighty Malls Gap is there as well from the rallying world, of course, famous for the stage of the rally. And then Ireland's tallest mountain, Carntool, is just off to our right today. There's glorious scenery here, and we're hoping for a really entertaining game of football in these fantastic surroundings. This is a fantastic stadium here at Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney. And the history of the match has been played between Kerry and Donegal. Donegal have only ever won once. That was way back in 1988, but it was at Ossenstack Park in Tralee. They've never won in Killarney, and is today the day that that's going to change. So, Brendan, we've got a bird's eye view of this game today. It's good, nice to be back in Kerry. We came down yesterday. We had a leisurely drive down. We spent a bit of time in the town last night, and there's a brilliant atmosphere here. But we're all hoping, from a Donegal point of view, that we can get a result. Is that achievable here today?
Yeah, definitely. We were in best behaviour last night, Dawson. You get a job at Bord Fáilte with that introduction, you know. In fairness, the views here are breathtaking. The pitch is immaculate. And as you said, no more than other National League games so far. The interest has gone huge into this league. Of course, no pre-competition, so there's a massive appetite. You know, you had the six months layoff from seeing your county players and your county in action. So, listen, huge interest in this match. The only game on this weekend, Oisin. So, you know, all the talk is seeing how these two teams shape up after their first round victories. And it's a fascinating game and stories. I say, looking at the lads out warming up here, that pitch is like it's summertime perfect. Like, so plenty of talent on show here today, and we're really looking forward
to it. It's a big pitch too, Brendan, sort of, looking at it from up here.
Yeah, do you know what? Sometimes the elevation there, Oisin, it's a wee bit like Crow Park. When you're up high, the distances can sometimes you're trying to evaluate, but certainly the arc kick, from what I'm looking at, looks like a decent kick from here. But of course, we have someone called Darrell Boyle in the team, and he didn't find it a problem last weekend with Cole Park. He was in hot form.
Yeah, he certainly was. And we welcome all our listeners to Highland Radio's Saturday Sport this afternoon. This match, of course, not been televised or it's not been streamed. So your only point of contact for commentary this afternoon is right here on Highland Radio. So we welcome our listeners right across the Northwest on FM. And, of course, if you're listening online or in your smart speaker or in your phone, be it in Donegal, be it even here in Kerry, or indeed right across the world, you'll not miss a thing this afternoon from this fixture. Welcome back to our coverage of the Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally. And listen, this race is far from done yet, because Marion Evans and Jer Conway in the Melbourne Evans Motorsport Pro Vision Global Motorsport Toyota Yaris Rally 2 car is certainly on the money after the second run round Gartan, with the fastest time taking 17 seconds out of Callum Devine. And that now means, with one stage to go, Fanad Head, that there's 20 seconds separating these two guys, and there's 20 kilometers left in the rally. It's fascinating stuff. A conservative drive for Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan, the leaders. They had a half a spin in there in Gartan towards the end, but Marion Evans was really, really on the money. He was on the pace. It wasn't the fastest time of the day. That went to David Kelly. Another super drive by David Kelly and Dean O'Sullivan, and the quickest time in Gartan of 6:59.3 for Kelly now means that they go in to the podium position. They've moved up to third overall, and the dream of getting to the podium in the Donegal International Rally for the homeboys is getting very, very close indeed. Andrew Nesbitt joins us here at the end of Gartan. There's still a lot to play for here, Andrew, but is 20 kilometres and 20 seconds, is it too much for Marion to chase down Callum?
It is. I think Callum's going to give about a quarter to a half a second a kilometre away. He has to do that to win this rally. If he attacks it, it's going to upset the apple tart. He really does now just need, he needs to slow down, yeah, believe it or not, to win this rally, and that's where he's at.
Yeah, well, he can't give 20 seconds away, or it could be Marion Evans' rally. But Callum Devine almost there to defending his title. What about David Kelly today?
He's just amazing. He's the find of the rally for Donegal and the county of Donegal. He's an amazing young fella, an amazing driver. He's a lovely young guy, and for to be putting these times up, these are world international times, it's a credit to him. Yeah. Delighted for him.
Yeah, everybody seems to be delighted. Hopefully he can pull it off and stay there and get on the podium. But listen, as we told you, Kelly with the fastest time. 6:59.3 was the time for Kelly in the second run round Garden in front of huge crowds and bone dry conditions. The sun is high in the sky, and it's a fantastic afternoon for rallying here in the county. The second fastest time in Garden.
Take me through the water. Hold my hand and wash my spirit clean. I've always had a fire inside of me, but right now I've just gotta let it be.
It's 6:20 a.m. on Friday the 7th of March. The ocean is calm, but it's a bitey 3 to 4 degrees this morning.
So today's dip is a celebration. That's just fab, because it's celebrating women, and it's just that feel-good factor. You can hear all the laughter and the chat.
Oh no, nothing behind.
This Saturday is International Women's Day, and to celebrate, Women in Sport in Donegal has been taking place this week, and the latest initiative is the Sunrise Dip here at Rathmullen Pier.
Good morning, I'm Karen Crawford from the couple of groups, Garten Open Water Swimmers, and here in Rathmullen from the Rathmullen Casual Dippers. So we're hoping to have about 30 people in the water, I think, this morning. It looks so lovely. The water is calm. We hope the sun's coming up somewhere. Can't quite see it yet, but the water's about 7 degrees, I think. Yeah, so we're going to have a bit of fun in the water. It's a big social thing, probably, particularly for the groups here in Rathmullen, between getting into the water, whether you're dipping or swimming. But the big thing for us afterwards is getting together, having a chat, warming up over a cup of tea or whatever, and having the banter and so on. So it's a big social thing for people. It's a great outlet. And then we do some swimming as well. So some people do a bit of dipping, some people do much more swimming, but anything goes, really.
So I'm Ray Docherty. Living in Balbuffet now, from Bangor originally.
So you're a full-time Donegal lady now, then?
Well, so they say. Yeah. Still a blow-in, but anyway.
Who likes to dip and swim in open water?
I likes to dip, swim. I would swim in a puddle. I like the pool. I just like water. I just enjoy it. Be a real water baby. Round water all my whole life, growing up in Bangor. Mm-hmm. So the sea was a big thing, and great to be reconnecting here as well. So... sea and lakes.
What makes the sea, the lakes, the water special to you?
Oh, I think it's being outside. I think it's being with nature. But I think also the people. So I swim with different swim groups. And just, you know, the people that you meet, the types of swims that you have. Like, the open water gives you everything. It gives you a dip during the winter, but a head up, it's too cold to put your face in. But then... doing the events and the endurance swims and all the rest of it, so it just gives you everything. So I kind of do everything. I do the endurance swims as well, you know, sort of 4 or 5 hours, that type of thing. So it is everything.
Yeah.
It is everything.
What do you get out of an event like this now, this morning, because the sun's coming up, we're hoping it's going to break through the sky shortly, but the sea's lovely and calm. This morning they're starting to gather here. Yeah. What is it you get out of an event like this?
Just that feel-good factor. Just coming down, the drive down, and you're starting to see the sea, and you see it's lovely and calm. When I left the house in Balbuffet, the sun, like, it was still dark. Starting to rise, but, you know, still dark. And you're just starting to see the brightness. There's hardly a sunner on the road. So it's, you know, you've just got that. You're seeing a part of the morning that very few other people see. And you know you're coming down to friends. And it's just that celebration. So today's dip is a celebration. And that's just fab, because it's celebrating women and our men, because there's men here as well. And it's just that feel-good factor. You can hear all the laughter and the chat and how's it going. And not everybody would be here all the time, but our paths cross at different times for these types of events, and it's lovely.
International Women's Day, mm-hmm. is this weekend. It's all about empowering women. Should we be making more of it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We should be, you know, any opportunity. Like, when you see everything that's been on this week, and it it's generated conversation. It's generated conversation in all, like, my social groups outside swimming, just about women. And this women in sport is so, so powerful, because we know that young girls don't stay in sport. You know, the likes of ourselves here, well, the likes of me, I was introduced to swimming at a young age, and don't remember learning to swim, was a competitive swimmer, and then I did water polo in my 20s and competitions and all that there, and then kept on with sport. And it gives so much in life. And if we can encourage young women, girls and young women, to continue, it's got to be good for lifespan, health, activity, mental health and physical good health. But celebrating women, yeah, so good.
We'll talk maybe after the dip and see how you're feeling following it.
If you think I'm high now, looking forward to going in, it'll just be so much better getting out, because it's just brilliant. Are you stripping off yourself?
I'm not, no. I'm quite happy with my two jackets on, my hat and everything else on me.
Have you a hot water bottle?
Listen, you were involved and you were seen as a high-ranking athlete in recent years. You were very close to making the Europeans. You attended the Worlds in 2022. You've been at numerous European Throws Championships, but you had a very, very high ranking until this injury came along. Can you get back there, John? I suppose that's the bottom line. Can you get back to competing at that high level?
100%, Oisin. 100%. I have not given up hope. If anything, it's probably fueled me tenfold. As I say, getting older now, you got to be smarter now. Can't go on blind like with the blind youth as I used to. The body doesn't react as well as it used to before. So now it's got to be smarter, got to plan better, got to look at things better, and pray the luck's on my side when it comes to keeping the body healthy. But so far, we're moving very well. I've come back from two big injuries with the back and with the arm. So yeah, if anything, it's starting to improve now. I'm starting to get back up the numbers again, especially in the gym, especially throwing. So it's about getting some weeks, getting some months of consistency behind me, and then it just starts to come. I can't expect to kind of slot myself back into where I was, and I think that's the hard part. I was so close to the Olympics in 2022 when I made the Worlds, and I was thinking to myself, hey, I have a chance here. I've got a real shot. 2023, I was throwing 21 meters before my back gave out, and I would have been red hot then if I just put it in a couple of competitions. But at the now, as you say, don't look back in haste. You always look forward. Always look forward to happiness. So I'm excited for what's coming the next few years. I want to get back on my horse, get back on top of Ireland, get back on top of everything. And then I'll not just do myself better, but do my family, do my club, and do my county proud, hopefully.
Yep. From a competing point of view, is the next Olympics a target for you?
Definitely so. I'll still be somewhat young, as they say. I'll be 32. Well, they say I'm still in my peak. You enter your peak at throwing events and field events. Tends to be between the age of 26 to 32. Some guys go longer, some guys get earlier. That's kind of the luck of the roll of the dice. But LA sounds like an achievable target. 4 years out, a lot can happen in 4 years. A lot can happen in 1 year.
O'Donnell breaks the lines. It's opened up for Shane O'Donnell. Here's a chance for Conor O'Donnell. The ball is stripped. That's over the back of the net. Running goal of the goal, it's Hugh McFadden.
Big Huey McFadden.
Hugh McFadden throws the ball into the back of the net. Conor O'Donnell, the ball stripped from him. It fell for Hugh McFadden. Donegal have got a goal, Brendan.
St. Catharines FC. Typical brilliant finish from Hughie McFadden. Played a bit of soccer in his youth, and boy, did he whack that into the net. Brilliant, brilliant lift for Donegal, Oisin. Here come Armagh again.
Here comes Armagh, and Donegal have got a goal, another goal in the championship. They lead here by four again. The questions are asked of the All-Ireland champions. Coming forward is Turbert. Turbert trying to get it away. Armagh looking for a goal. Two goals out to the left and wide. That's dramatic stuff here. It was just inches in it. Armagh were so close to responding with a goal. But it's going to be a kick to come from Sean Patton.
Yeah, if you have any heart problems, Clonus, Tyrone's Park, Clonus isn't the place to be, Oisin. The game is up and down the field. It's absolutely fantastic stuff. So the excitement and the energy levels are unreal. Sean Patton gets a kick away, and it's Shane O'Donnell on the ball attacking again.
Shane O'Donnell taking it up the left-hand side. Here comes Donegal again. He's got Ryan McHugh and McFadden ahead of him. Murphy is there too. Here comes Michael Murphy looking to bust bust the lines, bust the runner out foot. Michael Murphy gets a score for another goal over the bar, and it's 1-17 Blaise 15.
Yeah, and we get a return from the kick out, as I said, John Patton to Shane O'Donnell, Michael Murphy just inside the arc, top of the D, and who else would you want on the ball in a position like that? Only the reliable Michael Murphy down in his hunkers now, because they are gassed. This game is going up and down, it's so fast, Oshie.
3 points in this match for the Glen Swally man. Donegal have 1-17, Armagh have 15. We have a 5-point advantage once again on Ulster final day, and Armagh are going to bring the ball forward. On the clock, 45 minutes. We'll speak to Tony Boyle in a second. It comes out to McQuillan. McQuillan now. Space is closed out. McQuillan's going to bring it back now to the 45. This is Rory Grugan. Rory Grugan feeds it to Jareth O'Burns. Son off the hook, they're on. Here comes Jareth O'Burns. Lays that one in. Chance for Armagh. Oh, it's gone wide again. And bobbled off the feet of Jareth O'Burns. And Armagh were so close to getting the ball into the back of the net.
What a let off for Donegal, Oisín. Armagh seem intent. The last couple of attacks they had to try to work the ball right into the top of the in on top of Donegal, and they got a couple of shots off. The ball came off the butt of the upright, went straight across John Patton's line and went out wide. Lucky let off for Donegal.
Well, it is the month of March, and one of the highlights is, of course, the St. Patrick's Day celebrations. And to mark the occasion this year, a Donegal man has been to the fore in organising what was the first ever GA match to be played on the planet's most southern point, on Antarctica. Former Ardra senior player Sean McLaughlin is an ocean scientist on the Rothera Research Station on the world's least populated continent, and he joins us now on the programme. Hiya, Sean. Good to speak to you.
Ashton, thanks very much for having me.
I don't think we've spoke to anybody as far south before on Highland Radio, but delighted that you can join us this evening. And I suppose we'll go straight to it. The big match on St. Patrick's Day, how did it go?
It all went very well. There was a wind that I think any club on the West Coast would have struggled to play in. But we had a great turnout. 32 people from station turned out for the match. So it stayed dry for us, luckily, and we had no snow, so visibility was good. It was just the wind we had to contend with. So we started off with a bit of a training session to teach them the basics, fist passing, picking the ball up, bouncing and soloing. It very much resembled a bit of a cool camp situation. And then we split off into the teams. There are a few Irish down here. So we had Sinead Bolt from Dublin and John O'Redmond, who's from Wicklow. They were our team captains, so the named their teams Punchy Rothera and Tom Crean's, after Tom Crean, the big Irish giant and legend in Antarctic exploration. And it was a great game. Yeah, everyone really took to the sport really well. They're looking for additional games. They've been watching the hurling as well. So we have a few carpenters down here who are working on maybe getting a few hurls, and I brought a slitter down with me, so we might have a game of that yet as well.
Okay, wow. Well, the big talk this year, of course, here in Ireland with the GAA is about the new rules. Did you guys incorporate the new rules in Antarctica on St. Patrick's weekend?
We didn't go as far as that. Now we stuck with the basics. We thought that there was enough in that to teach the new people, never mind having the keeper coming out and not being able to go backwards and that kind of thing. So we stuck with the basics. It very much did resemble an under eights or under tens game, where it was a lot of following the ball. So I think the next game I'm going to try and focus on sticking to position a bit more.
Listen, you always keep home close to your heart, and obviously as an Ardra man back in Donegal, you grew up with the GAA, and it was core in the household, and that's something you've taken to Antarctica. But when did you think to yourself, right, okay, let's do something different here? When did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, definitely. Before we go down, we have to go over to the UK and do what we call pre-deployment training. And when we were over there, we realised there was the six or seven Irish ones going down. And we laughed about doing something down there. And our station leader, Alex Roots, he was all for the idea. When initially we just joked, he was like, well, why not do something? You know, it's never been done before. And they do celebrate other days down here, like Burns Night is a big Scottish tradition. And there was a big night for that. So he really pushed us to get something going. So we had a quick chat, and myself and Gráinne Keogh from Cork, we work in the same marine team. So we thought, what could we do? And the two ideas we came up with was, well, we could do a St. Patrick's Day parade and we could do a game of Gaelic football. And from there, it just snowballed and we ended up with a great weekend, yeah.